Mystic. This is season 2, episode 9. This is a very special episode. I call this The Higher Calling. This is actually with one of my good friends that I have not talked to since 1888. This is going to be Tyler Monica.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Tyler?
Not much.
How have you been, man?
Doing good. Just got home from church tonight. And,
nice. How was it?
It was really good. So today is Good Friday.
Good Friday,
church folks would call it. And it's the day that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. But
right.
That sounds horrible, but there's good news. We could talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. So a little background from my run-in with Tyler is actually I was hired many moons ago by his mother. And then I met their family, and they have an amazing family. I connected really well with them. And at one point, Tyler worked with me.
Oh, yeah.
At good old Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
And that was an experience by itself. Lived over there. That was the sad thing, is because it was kind of a scary place.
My first job, too.
Yeah. And you did amazing. But now I'm going to get into kind of where this segment goes. Is over the years, man, I've been a fan. I really like your post. I really like your messages. I met you when you were very young, and you were a very committed and, like, because I did a couple things with your guys' group as well. We played Ultimate Frisbee.
I do remember that now.
I had fun, man. But one thing about you, man, is you, throughout everything, you were who you were. You didn't let anybody kind of sidetrack you with the world the way it was at that point. You still were very committed, and you let your faith, like, push you of who you are. And that's kind of why I really wanted to do this with you. For one, catch up, because I haven't talked to you forever, and that's sad, because I don't know.
You're awesome.
Yeah, no, you're awesome. No, but you were a former youth worker, correct?
Yep.
You worked for Kids Across America as well, the camps. And why I connect that too is because long time ago, I came from a very, very Catholic background. I was baptized, but after that, like, we moved around, like a single mother. I never really got into religion. Not like it's getting into, like, you're getting into school or something, but it never was a, like, it wasn't pushed or it wasn't anything like that. It was kind of like mom had to work 16 hours a day for years upon years to kind of get where we were, and going to church and being part of the community and stuff really wasn't there. So in my later age, I kind of found myself doing things for community. Like, I volunteered myself. We went to Chicago. We actually helped a garden downtown Chicago that fed homeless. Like, we picked weeds. We did a couple of building shelters and different stuff like that. So I volunteered myself, and then I kind of lost my way, I guess you can say. But I do something now, but it's not kind of faith related. I do a lot of donations and support through Extra Life for the Children's Miracle Network. I do fundraisers and different stuff to raise money through gaming and streaming and podcasts and different stuff like that. And with a lot of the conversations that I've had with multiple people on the episodes and stuff, I've noticed my age group that is people are attached to the most are under the age of 21. And a lot of the comments and different stuff that I've talked to personally, people, I've noticed people are really attaching to words about staying who they are, following a path, religion. And that's why I was like, dude, I've got to bring on my friend Tyler to kind of talk about it, because he is a person that could inspire the world. And so that's why I want to give you a platform to kind of speak of who you are and everything about who you are.
Man, thanks. And it's super cool that you can see it from a distance, that, you know, the commitment and remembering from the past and seeing that, you know, shoot, I think I worked with you, and I was 16 years old, and we got to work together for about a couple of years, and you got to see me during that journey and just notice the commitment. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, I'm either all in something or I'm all out. It's kind of, right. I don't like doing stuff. You know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say a bad word, but I don't like doing stuff half-ass.
Yeah, no, you're fine. I can make this as crazy as you want to be. So, Twisted Crab is actually in chat. That is actually my nephew.
What's
he
up?
He does a lot of some of the podcasts as well with me, with the younger generation. No, but one thing about you, Tyler, is you were really young when you had your first job, and you could have let a lot of people influence you. But one thing that I want to ask is, growing up, like I kind of told a little bit of my background of faith, like, was your family really into faith and religion, or was this kind of a path that you found naturally?
Yeah, no, nope. Nobody in my family would claim to be practicing faith or following Jesus. It's something it's something I encountered whenever I was 13 years old and, you know, heard about Jesus, and he's a good father, and he's always there for you, he cares for you, and, you know, whenever you are having awful times that you can go to him and he provides safety and refuge. And I'm like, man, that sounds awesome. So, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart when I was 13. And, you know, like I said, I'm either all in or all out. You know, I saw people up there getting baptized and stuff. I'm like, you know, God calls us to live this certain way. I understood that whenever we were younger, God calls us to live a certain way. And I'm like, yeah, no, I can't do that. So I chose not to pursue that relationship with Jesus, because I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know anybody who does it, and I have never seen it done before. And so I know I'm not going to do this. So why start? I know I'm not going to do it. So I didn't do it when I was 13. So when I was 20, I had a series of encounters from 13 years old to 20 years old. It was whenever I came back to my faith in Jesus. Like, I had a series of encounters, not through my family, but through coworkers. A lot of coworkers, and a lot of me trying to do life on my own. Yeah, those were my main influences. Coworkers and the guy who led me to Christ when I was 13 years old. He kind of remained in my life. Like, every 6-7 months, he would give me a call and check up on me and say, "How you doing?" And me, being who I am, I'd just say, you know, I'm not interested in the Jesus stuff. Not interested. I don't want it. I'm not ready for that. It's too much of a commitment for me. But no, and no family influences. Just, it was, you know, God, you know, the Bible says, you know, he stands at the doors and knocks. You just have to open the door and let him in. And that's what I finally did.
Yeah, that's awesome. And with your path, has there been any struggles, or like your friends or anybody kind of like, oh, hey, man, Tyler, I think you're in too deep. I think, are you sure this isn't a cult? Are you sure? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see sometimes that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely. So I started getting interested in God again around 18 years old. You know, I would, you know, I was partying and drinking, doing all that stuff before I was 21, trying to fit in with the cool people. And, you know, my best friend growing up, he did not believe. And, you know, maybe I believed growing up or in my teenage years, but I would not follow. Maybe I believed, but didn't follow. And as I started getting more interested in Jesus, you know, my friends would make fun of me, you know, and then make fun of what I believed, you know, calling God the flying spaghetti monster and different stuff. And that was my best friend. And, you know, eventually, you know, I had to make the decision, like, am I going to allow this person, my best friend, talk about what I believe and I accept to be true? Am I going to allow this person, you know, put down my faith like that and still allow this person to be in my life? And I had to make the decision. And the decision was to, I had to cut him out of my life because I didn't want that. You know, I'm cool with whatever you believe. Just, you know, don't make fun of what I believe. You know, it's, you know, that for me, that's a no-go. And then as I actually stepped in my faith, yes, my family made fun of me. I'm the Bible thumper. I'm the Jesus freak. Oh, you're probably going to youth group and the youth pastor is, you know, being weird, doing weird stuff and all this because, well, my father wasn't in my life. So kind of naturally, as I, you know, I kind of looked up to this dude, like, and he kind of remained in my life from 13 until 20. Well, until now, but like he was like a steady male figure that I had, which was really cool. And, you know, people around me would say, they're probably doing weird stuff with you guys, huh? I'm like, no. And never, and still to this day, I can say no. Like, me personally, I have never experienced anything weird.
Right. And to be honest, I don't think that's so much the people as I think it's society. So on the What If TV, that's the name of the podcast. We're very open-minded. And one thing that I've been saying a lot is I think that it's a ploy with the government. It's a way of controlling the people. And in order to do that, what do you take away? You take away religion. You take away,
oh yeah,
some of the constitution rights and stuff, because if they can control that, they can control the people and manipulate any way they want. So we do have the constitution to have the freedom of religion. Yeah. But if you are going to middle school or high school and you're reading your Bible in school and someone feels offended, they could turn you in and you could get suspended. And it's happened. Or shirts that says, I follow Jesus, and that's it. But people might take offense to that. And because they think, well, oh, you're pushing religion on me. No, it's a shirt. But that's the way our society is today. And I think it's a separation of religion. And I'm not going to lie, it's worked, because there is a lot of craziness in this world right now. So anybody that can, like, still follow and pursue and not worrying about being judged and following faith is like the highest regards, because there is a lot of pressure today. I mean, with genders and all that other stuff. My question to you is, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you, like, reflect or deflect that and try to turn it around into where, hey, you might not believe in that, this and that, but hey, give it a chance. Maybe Jesus is for you and he can help you, like, grow and be a better person and not be so, like, pushy on your agendas and different stuff like that, and see it as the people and not just everybody versus you.
Yeah, so that kind of goes back.
It's a touchy subject, I know.
Well, no, I like it. I talk about anything, everything. It kind of goes back to what I was saying before. Like, there has to become, like, for me, there had to become a time where I had to make a decision for me personally, what I was going to choose to follow. Was I going to follow what everybody in the world is doing? The party and the drinking, sex, drugs, you know, I experienced all that stuff before I was 21 years old. And actually, I quit all that stuff when I was 21 years old as well. But I had to make a decision. Am I going to follow what the world says? Or am I going to actually give my all to what I believe? Jesus Christ, the Bible. I believe it's 100% true, 100% accurate. And it is inspired by God. So at that point, when I was 20... about 21, 22 years old, I had to make a decision. Like, am I going to allow my friends, the people I have around me, keep me back for, you know, if I believe what the Bible says is true, that God has plans for me, that God has a plan for my life, an awesome, beautiful, wonderful plan. I had to make a decision. And that decision was to remove the people I had around me that did not push me towards that plan that God had for me, because I was new to my faith. I never seen it modeled. I never had faith. I never had a commitment to faith prior to being 21 years old. So I had to, or prior to being 20. So I had to figure out what this really looked like. And I knew that me being around my friends that didn't believe and that chose to go a different path, which is okay. I love them still. And actually we're friends. We're now friends again. Me and those people. I had to choose, you know, what am I going to follow? And from there, it's like, yeah, you know, I became a people pleaser in some ways. But more or less, like, So this is what weird for me. Whenever I did make that choice, I kind of cut myself off from most of the world and engulfed myself more in the church stuff, which was good for a season. It removed all the outside sources of everything, and it helped me look at what God had to say and how do I honor him and how do I line my life up with that? Instead of being tempted by the influences I had around me. You know, I believe that we are the sum of the five people that we have around us. This is a concept that I've been gathering in the last about the last 3 years. You know, we are the sum of the five people we surround ourselves around. So if you hang out with a whole bunch of people that are doing drugs, four people that are doing drugs, guess what? You will most likely be the fifth person that's probably going to end up doing drugs. So, you know, during that early season of me and my faith, 20 years old to 22 years old, it was really rocky because I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, what does this look like? You know, I still want to smoke cigarettes. I still want to drink. I still want to party all the time. I still want to sleep with girls. Like, these are the things that I wanted to do because that's what I knew to do. And it was fun in my brain. But whenever I actually started that relationship, like I said, I kind of just cut everybody out.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah. No, I can understand that, because you cut out the negativity part of it. That was the influence. But then you brought in to focus on your goal. And then you realized that you didn't have to, like, be 7,000% into the church, that you could still have those relationships with your friends, your family, and stuff, that even though that you know what they believe in, it comes a time to where they would just accept you of what you believe and the things that you believe, and you guys all can prosper. And I think that's technically how the world works nowadays. But I mean, If you look about all the wars and stuff of religion, that's since the beginning of time, all the wars and stuff back in the early days were fought over religion until they learned to cope with each other. And hey, this person actually, just because he believes in a certain way, he's a really good blacksmith and he can do this. Well, I can trade my farm, my fruits and vegetables, and he can give me the better tools to make. So then it progresses. So no, yeah. Dude, I understand. And I like that path. Every experiences that we've had growing up, it molds of who we are, regardless of what happened. It's just a lesson learned.
Yeah, no, and like you said, you know, there becomes a point in time where you do let them back in. You know, I think those, you know, I really started letting more people in outside of the Christian realm probably 4 or 5 years ago. But I see the time before as very helpful because it helped build a solid foundation to where I'm at now. I'm kind of, you know, like I will go out with some friends who don't believe or who don't have faith. I will go to a concert, a show. I will go, you know, I can be in a room full of or people who are drinking or doing whatever, but a solid foundation was built inside of my heart. Principles that the Bible teaches is ingrained in my brain and my heart, and those and what the Bible says is, you know, it's, you know, the Bible says that let the words you read be ingrained in your heart, and that's what has been done, which allows me to be able to withstand those difficult, harder circumstances of being around people doing things that, you know, you may have once been tempted by.
Right. So it created a barrier. So the words got tattooed. I know that's one of my next questions. Yeah. So it basically got tattooed. Yeah. So that's one of my questions is, like, I know whenever I started going like on the Catholic side way back in the day, they would judge me because like I had all dragons tattoos, right? Cause I really like dragons, but me, it wasn't so much as dragon was a bad thing. I didn't see it as a bad thing, but then you start going to all these like religious events and church and they're like, oh, they're already judging me. And then when they got to know me, they're like, man, hey, I'm not gonna lie. Whenever you first came in and I saw you tattooed and all that, I was kind of iffy. And then I was like, wow, it kind of makes you wonder what you get yourself into if you're judging somebody just by the tattoos. So, I mean, have you ever ran into that because of that?
Maybe somewhat during my beginning of my walk in my faith, but I also ran into my own brain imposing other people's thoughts, my own assumptions.
Yeah.
Come upon me.
Assume they were judging you.
Yes. You know, I think a lot of people struggle with that. You know, we make assumptions that somebody is thinking something about us that they might not necessarily be actually thinking. For me, you know, people say, don't get tattoos. Well, I'm kind of,
it's lost.
I like, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says that, oh, if you have a tattoo, God will never love you. It says, do not have anything worse. I don't know. I'm not no Bible scholar, but there's a Bible verse that talks about having, honoring the dead or something on your body. And people like to take that out of context and say, you know, well, you can't have tattoos. Well, but yeah. Interesting fact. Well, so, I mean, then we would have to say, well, the Bible also says that women shouldn't cut their hair. You know, take stuff about your hats and a whole bunch of different things, you know, you have to context, the situation. You have to go back to their, you have to put yourself in their place when the Bible was written at that time and know like what's going on.
The culture, the world at that time. No, yeah. I have a big old Saint Michael tattoo on the back. I have some angel wings with one of my uncles that passed away. So I get that too. And I
know have a exactly dragon. I have a dragon as well. Oh no, it's right here.
Nice.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the best role model. Like if somebody tells me not to do something, that's probably going to compel me a little bit more to go do it.
Right.
You know, especially like I've watched videos about what people, on how people explain tattoos and Christianity and whatnot. And it's,
yeah,
that's like, dude, like, are you really going to judge like my salvation? Like salvation is, you know, is being saved by Jesus Christ and going to heaven instead of hell, and believing that Jesus Christ is your savior. Is somebody really going to judge my salvation by what's on my body?
Right.
You know, like
I would judge by the message that you give. Like if you come out and just straight up, oh, there is no Bible, this and that, then yeah, I'm going to judge you. But if you come out.
Right. It's obvious, you know.
Right.
It's obvious. But no, I mean, no, I, like I said, as soon as people, you know, if I thought somebody disliked my tattoos, guess what? It's kind of going to make me want to show my tattoos a little bit more because
right.
Jesus is going to love you anyways.
Right. And I know that you've traveled around the world doing some cool things and stuff like that. And I think that's awesome because. I
go to a country called El Salvador. It's in Central America. Yeah. It's the only Central American country that does not touch both oceans, the Pacific and what is it, the Atlantic?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I go there almost every year and I spent 3 months there to learn the language, build relationships, and that was really cool.
So when you were doing like your Kids Across America camps, that was all walks of life, correct? That was homeless. Yeah. That was, and so I know when back in the day, whenever I used to do anything that had to do with like any kind of kids, they would actually send you to a class to where if someone came up to you and said, hey, I was sexually abused or this and that, then you had to take a class on how to deal and talk and stuff like that. Did you ever run into situations where people just opened up to you and just kind of blasted things that happened to them and stuff, and you basically had to mold it to where you had to explain things and kind of get into those situations?
Thank God I never ran into anybody that was sexually abused because that stuff angers me really.
Yeah.
Bad. I've dealt with kids. So I've worked with mostly city kids and kids that are more or less come from a rougher background. And you know, the things that I've gotten to hear, you know, kids, you know, sitting right in front of somebody and them admitting that they shot somebody, or that they're a drug dealer, or seeing kids you know, having to steal for food. Like these are the things that I've had to figure out how to navigate. You know, whenever I realized I just picked up a kid that was in jail for like a year or so because he just got done shooting somebody after a drug deal gone bad, I was sitting there like, dang, when is this dude going to shoot me?
Right.
Like when is this going to happen? But like for me personally, I had to remember, like, if I trust God, then I trust that he will protect me in this situation. Like I don't carry, I didn't carry a firearm. I didn't carry anything to like protect myself. Like I have to trust, you know, that God is in control, that he'll protect me. And honestly, if a guy turns a gun on me and shoots me, then well,
it was meant to be, I guess. No, not saying that, but
a big thing that I had to learn through that process was, look, we're all messed up. You know, he didn't kill the guy, thank God, but we're all messed up. You know, I have my skeletons in my closet. I've done
everybody does.
And, you know, this person that's talking to me about this is opening up in their heart. They're confessing what they've done wrong. Yes. And they want to turn away from it. And I had to come to an understanding, like, oh, that was me at one point. It didn't look like this, but the stuff that I did, but it's all like the Bible, like God says that all sin is anything that goes against God and his plan, that all of it is equal. Somebody that chooses to kill somebody, that is as equal as somebody that tells a little tiny lie.
Yeah.
It's equal. Somebody that shot somebody is not worse of a person than the person that's a liar. It's the same. And that's, you know, I had to remember that. It's like, how would Jesus look at me?
Okay. Yeah.
He looks at me as a sinner. And once I accept that I need a savior, now I am made new. Everything that I've done wrong, that I've done to go against God, that slate is wiped clean. You know, it's like imagine you go to a restaurant and you have $1,000 bill. Jesus walks in and says, you know what? Or no, a better example. Let's say you got a whole bunch of tickets, speeding tickets, a whole bunch of them. And then you don't know how to get out of these speeding tickets or whatever these things you got. And Jesus walks in and says, hey, it's all good. It's paid for. Trust in me as your savior. And this ticket is paid for.
It makes you not be so judgmental, because then you gotta then look at that person like, is this is their journey? This is how they're choosing to do their walk of life. So, dude, I love it. I love it. Now, if kids are, let's say, in high school and stuff, and they're going through some mental challenges as far as acceptance, as far as day-to-day stresses about social media pressuring them into doing the drugs and sex and all that stuff, is there a message that you and the younger, I know when you did your youth camp, is there like a way to approach that and kind of talk to the kids to make them think, tell them that it is okay to have like struggles and different stuff like that, as long as you have a path for God and Jesus? I'm going to challenge you. Don't think that you're going to come off easy.
That's a good question.
Because you're used to the generation, the adult stuff, but I think nowadays, I don't think there's enough influence for the younger generation, the kids, because of how far separated religion is from the world because of social media and this and that. You got to do this and that and to be accepted, or you got to look this way or do this. And I don't know. I'm an older person too, but man, it's scary. And sometimes, like, I don't have kids, circumstances be, but man, it's almost kind of like a gift, because I would absolutely go crazy with kids and these new generations of how they're raised with technology and different stuff. It blows my mind.
You know, and like, honestly, the truth is, if you are not following Jesus, the only thing I can say, you know, a practical advice would be, the people around you are going to try to convince you to do the things that they're doing so they don't feel stupid and so they don't feel stupid by themselves. So they don't feel
like peer pressure.
Yeah. But reality, like, so I believe in Satan. Satan is very real. He's a master of deceiving. And if we're not following Jesus, or if you're not following something that's bigger than yourself, then being pulled into those temptations are super likely, because you don't have anything to turn to, you know? Like, whenever, if one of my friends, you know, I worked in the labor fields, and that could be rough. You know, people try to show me weird or nasty pictures. I believe in my heart that I need to honor God, and looking at those things does not honor Him. So I have to make a decision. Am I going to accept and look at this with them? Or am I going to jokingly say, yeah, no, bro, like, I kind of don't do that. You know, I don't do that. Like,
right.
You know, rub it off as a joke and move forward. Or if you're in a place where you're like, yeah, no, like, this is not what, like, I follow Jesus. This is not what I do. Please don't show me that ever again. Like, today, wisdom from me today compared to then, how I go about it is, if people are peer pressuring me into something that I know in my heart and in my brain is not good, then I respectfully ask that person, hey, please do not ever do this in front of me again, or do not ever discourage me like this. Do not ever try to bring me down this path ever again. And, you know, I have to make that very clear and up. And as soon as it happens, you know, well, I mean, if it happens once, I might let it slide. If it happens again, then I'm definitely going to say something about it, because it's like, this is something that I know I shouldn't be doing or thinking, or that negativity being brought upon me. So it's either you're going to stop doing that, or we're never going to hang out. Or we're not going to hang out.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't care where you're at, what your walk in life. I don't, you know, whatever you believe. But if you are going to tear me down or bring negativity or peer pressure upon me that I know is not good, and I ask you to stop and you don't stop, then you just have to cut it out. You have to draw those boundaries. You have to have, like for me, I never knew about boundaries growing up. And, you know, I just thought, like, oh, like, I could do kind of whatever I want, however I want, you know, however I feel. And I never really had any boundaries until I had a girlfriend in the last 5 years. 3 years ago, I had a girlfriend, and I realized, like, oh, we have to have boundaries. Like, if we're gonna do this well, if we're going to honor God and do our relationship well, we have to have boundaries. No hanging out like past like 10 o'clock at night, trying not to drive just us two alone in the car. Not being in the house by ourselves. You know, I had to put up these boundaries that honestly I wanted to break all the time. Like, I'm a grown man. I can be in the house with this girl by myself. Who, like, you know, like, I'm grown. I could do this. I had to establish these boundaries, because the boundaries are things that protect us and help guide us on our journey and for me on my journey to honor God. And whenever we start stepping outside of those boundaries, there's consequences. You know, your parents tell you, your parents tell you, quit jumping on the bed, you're gonna fall off and crack your head. Well, if you keep on jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping, there's a chance that you might fall off and actually do that.
Yep.
So what I realized for me, it was personal experience, that okay, if I keep on doing what I want to do, God does give us consequences because he loves us just like our parents do, because he is my father, my heavenly father. And these are just things that I wish I would have known when I was younger, is how to put up those boundaries. But the Bible says our flesh is weak. We are weak whenever we do it on our own. So those things are incredibly, incredibly difficult if you're not believing in a higher power. If you're not believing,
that's because we have free will.
Yeah, we have free will.
But to be honest, I if you did the stuff that you know now back then, I don't think you would be the same person.
No, I wouldn't be who I am today.
Right, exactly. So, like, nobody's perfect, and anybody that is out there listening stuff, that's not the message. Is you're not going to be perfect in this world. You are going to make mistakes. There is going to be times that you flaw and stuff, but you just got to be mentally strong enough to know for every action there's a reaction, and then if your action is to do those types of things all the time and not have a higher power, when it comes time to being judged by not your fellow man but to the higher following of who you believe or don't believe, hey, all the signs and stuff were there, and you have all these tools and the Bible, you had church, you had community, you had all these awesome people and stuff that were a guide for you, and you failed to let them in your life, and when doing so, now you're being judged, and whatever happens happens. Like I so I'm glad you're on, Tyler.
No, yeah, like, yeah.
And great experience. We don't really like on the next podcast or whatever, you, it doesn't have to be all about religion and stuff. We can just chit-chat, yeah, and talk.
I am much more than just my faith. That's
exactly, that's, I know that.
That's a staple in my life, though.
Yeah, that's your foundation, like you said. Yeah. And so I think you're a 70-30 person. You're 100% into your religion. You're 70% your foundation, and 30% you're still going to grow into as you get older.
And I do want to clear something up for any of you guys who are listening. I don't consider myself a religious person, not at all. What I have is a relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not call us to be religious. Actually, the religious people were looked down upon in the Bible. They're okay. Called the Pharisees.
And these so are I people. Will change my terminology.
But yeah, I mean, no, it's understandable. A lot of people, see, you go to church all the time. You know, it's a term. Like you're religious at doing this. No, I get that, you know, but like for me, it's like, you know, it comes with the stigma of like maybe even it could be, some people might think it's cultish, or some people might think it's weird. You know, you're religious. No, right. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, like I have an intimate relationship with him. I can read the Bible and see what he says. I might not be able to hang out with him physically, but I can see the plan that he has for me and he has for you by reading the Bible and building that relationship with him. Much like you would build one with one of your friends or your wife or a girlfriend. Like you hang out with them, you talk to them, you share with them, you know, that's what I consider myself is I'm a Jesus follower. I have a relationship. You know, I tell people I'm not religious. They're like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not a religious person. You know, like I was saying, like the Pharisees, they were religious people back in the day. And the Pharisees, Jesus didn't, or the Pharisees were not saved. like because they thought they were better than other people.
Right.
They thought they were doing it right and everybody else was doing it wrong. So
the Roman Catholic. When, yeah. So which comes into Good Friday and Easter and the celebration of the rise of Jesus. So, yeah.
That's in 2 days on Sunday.
Yep.
That's the good news I was talking about. Jesus doesn't stay dead. He comes back. And that's what makes what I believe true. If he never came back, then everything I believe would be. But even that, if you sit there and consider, if you're like, you know, I don't want to follow Jesus, this is weird. Or what if it's not true? What if following Jesus isn't really real? Well, guess what? You know, you just spent your life reading the Bible, which is number one selling book in the world, that has very good, helpful advice and tips on how to live your life that will lead you to a good path. And if it's all fake, guess what?
You're a better person for that.
Yeah, I'm a good dude. I help people. I love people, you know, and did I waste my life? No. If everything came out to be not true, did I waste any of my life? No. What am I missing out on? Doing all the drugs?
Yeah, exactly.
That in high school your peers might try to get you to do? No, that stuff's not cool. Like,
yeah.
You know what?
I never got into that. I've all, of course, my upbringing was a little bit different because I automatically thought everything was bad. I was kind of like a little goody-goody. And then after that, I went to the military, and I was like, I'm not getting kicked out of the military and sports and all the other stuff. But no, one of the things that we had a topic on, and you don't really have to buy into it. So we had a conversation about aliens, okay? And one of the suggestions is because of all the similarities, even with the Bible and talking about people, the different the different types of people all around the world and how they were all divided in different continents and different stuff, but there's still like pictures and symbols and different stuff that saying that basically we were a type of a traveler or an alien species, that there is a higher power, there is a God and Jesus and all that did happen, but it was people are so much into science right now, they're saying that there's no such thing as God. We got to believe in science. But then you have the scientists that are saying, well, if you believe in science, you got to believe in religion, because if you think of how the galaxies and the world and stuff is right now, it's perfect. That couldn't have happened accidentally. That is a higher power in play. So there's got to be a higher power, and everything that you've read in the Bible is true. If you have religion, you have science too, because of geology and all biology, all that is not, the Bible doesn't tell you it's not true. So you can't have one without the other. So what do you think, like the whole alien topic and all that?
I feel like I'm talking to Joe Rogan right now.
Right, and I like open mind. I don't dismiss it.
Me too. I don't know. That's a good question. Me, like, from my personal opinion, you know, I when I was younger, I used to look up in the sky and say, "Well, I see an alien." I don't know.
See, this is my thing. So I had an episode called Systems. And if you look at Earth as a whole, right, you have plants, you have animals, how they adapt, how they grow, how they, with the changing of times, how they've progressed, how animals have changed, how all that. I mean, besides going from like cavemen to now, we haven't changed, because I don't think we belong. I don't think we're originated here, because we don't fit in with the system. We don't survive. We do whatever we want for us as humans. We don't grow gills and go swimming. We don't, like, people are like, well, we're from monkeys, so that's how it is. Well, if that was the case, then why is there still monkeys if that's the case? Because, like, the cow and the dolphin are related. There's dolphins, but there's also cows, because whatever, the ocean, whatever, dried up long time ago and stuff. That's basically how a cow. But I mean, there's too much little ins and outs and stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. I went down a whole rabbit hole.
So, you know, something I've learned back when I did some college was that prove everything scientifically until you can't prove it scientifically anymore. And then you could say, oh, well, it's a God thing. Yeah. And, you know, so I am a man of faith, like of deep faith. Like I there's spiritual gifts out there. Yeah. And one of my spiritual gifts is faith. Which kind of means like, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not opposed to everybody else's views, but I can't really think about it, like evolution and stuff. To me, it can't happen because what I believe, like, and like, so I don't really do any more research back into those.
Right.
Because it's it's off the table because I'm already all in, you know?
Right. No. And that's kind of the approach is, you can have an open mind. You can always think about that stuff. But have you ever seen The Big Bang Theory?
No,
the show.
I haven't heard of it.
Well, there's a spinoff on that. Young Sheldon, and his mom goes to church. She works at the church. She is the church, right? But he is very scientific oriented. Like, he doesn't believe in faith. Nothing. But then there was a time to where she was struggling with her faith because of a financial situation with the dad losing his job. And she would have had to step away from going to church, and she was upset. And he and young Sheldon, who was always against her, oh, well, like when the preacher would like be saying a sermon and stuff, he would, well, I technically that's not correct. Couldn't happen with geometric, blah, blah, blah. Well, there was a time where young Sheldon comes to his mom and says, Mom, what are you upset about? She goes, well, I'm really questioning my faith and keeping the family and stuff afloat financially. And he was like, well, he goes, I don't think you should step away from church. He goes, I think the higher power calls you and that's your gift. So I the kind of related to what you just said with the faith and you're all in. Mm. And one of the things he says is, he goes, she goes, well, and let me ask you a question. Why don't you believe? And he goes, I've never once said that I didn't believe. He goes, I do believe in science. He goes, but Mom, I do believe there is God and that there was a son, Jesus, because if you think about the world and our galaxy, that if our rotation is a pinhead off, then nothing and everything would collide and everything would blow up.
Yeah.
He goes, that wasn't science. That was your God.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
so okay. Whenever people bring up the big, like something like the Big Bang Theory, like something like a counter argument is that is, you know, there's always has to be a first cause that caused the first cause,
like the chicken and the egg.
Yeah. So what if the Big Bang Theory was true,
then what caused it?
That.
Exactly.
Something had to. Something out there had to cause the first cause.
Right. And that's a thing, is you can always pin it back to that. So yeah, if the Big Bang Theory did happen, or the Big Bang did happen, but guess what? It was planned, and that's what God made it that way to get rid of the dinosaurs, because they were dying out anyways, because there was no vegetation and everything was about to go underwater and blah, 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 and all this volcanoes. And so yeah, you're absolutely correct.
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
See, that's hard, because you would say, well, the egg, but then what laid the egg? You can't say the chicken, because where did it come from? It was put there, damn it.
I think aliens are cool. I think they're interesting. I don't really do the whole evolution thing. I mean, I believe us as humans, we have developed, you know, maybe people during caveman days were probably a lot stronger.
Yeah, and they're taller. Survived by hunting and gathering, but from 1900 century, we're just in a different phase in the human life. Like, we have technology, we all this and advance and stuff like that, but I don't think we're like, if the apocalypse happened, right, and all the technology shut down, 60% of our world would melt just from people not being able to survive, because they wouldn't know how.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we don't have that survival skills and stuff, because it's so lost because we're behind technology. But the raccoons, they can find a way, deer, trees, plants, animals, everything else that touch would just be fine. They would just adapt. They would overcome. Just like you have grass on concrete. You would think, well, but the concrete, how did the grass get there? There's no light getting in. So our plants and animals, they're going to survive. They're going to be just fine. It might take them a while, but they're going to be fine. But humans, man, we're shot.
Right.
Yeah, that's my only kind of little shtick, is like, us humans, like, over the years since the pandemic, I have flipped kind of a weird, I don't think it's weird, because I see it now. I'm starting to get into where I want to be kind of self-sufficient. Like, I live in St. Peter's. I'm in a suburban area.
Yeah.
But I've started doing, I do worms for composting.
Yeah.
So, and that's at my mom's house. I have beehives now. So I sell honey and do the wax for candles. I want to live in what we call a greenhouse style house that reproduces its own water and heat and electricity. And I want to, that's my next house. Me and Heather, we're going to build that and kind of be that. And that's kind of my mindset is, there was a book whenever I was younger, that came up, it was called Hatchet. And probably everybody during my age, we would read it in like sixth grade. And it was about a boy and his grandpa that was going fly fishing in Canada, and the plane crashed, and his grandpa had given him a hatchet. And basically he had to survive on his own, because the grandpa ended up passing away on the crash. And kind of that mindset of like, you are now put into a situation where you have to survive. And I'm thinking, could humans do that right now if something should happen? No.
Right.
So some of us, I don't know, man. That's kind of my weird kind of thinking and stuff like that. But all right, man, do you have any questions or anything?
No, and this was fun.
Dude, it was a blast. And that is why, for one, I wanted to kind of talk with you anyways, regardless. Let's say the podcast never happened. I was going to reach out to you anyways, kind of. I've been following your latest reels and stuff like that. And that is one thing, too, is I will post all of your your social medias, anything you want to post or give shared out or anything like that, you just let me know. And
And you know, like right now, like further, you know, if people do decide to, you know, go check out my socials, like right now I'm in a point in life where I am not entering back into, like I was talking earlier about, like I separated myself from the world and just did all the Jesus stuff. It's not that I'm entering back into the world, but I am kind of entering back. I'm entering back into the world with the perspective of how do I care for people the best I can? And I'm just trying to figure out how can I relate to you guys, to people, and still show who Jesus is to me.
Well, that kind of why I did this is I kind of wanted to give you a platform for that. I really like some of your messages, some of your other stuff, like with what you've did with the past people you've helped. I really think that you keep doing the reels and stuff like that. But if you have somebody to reach out to you, hey, I'm struggling with this or that, not that you're a guidance counselor or that you're certified or registered and all this, but I don't know, dude, I have think
that happens a lot.
And I think that's awesome. I think that I've always said, like I tell Heather that I think is your calling secretly, because I know now you own your own business, correct?
Yeah, but I'm actually, so I am getting rid of one of my businesses to start another. I'm looking to build passive income so I can do more of these things you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. It's awesome. Any anything that you give me to share out, and you're always welcome back. Like if you, hey, I got to get some stuff off my chest, or we'll have conversations or talk about, or just chit chat in general.
Yeah. You can, welcome you can, all my social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, it's at Tyler Monica.
Okay. Except for
Instagram is Tyler Monica One.
Yeah, I had to do the same thing. I've had Mystic Soul 23 for 27 years.
Yeah, you have.
I've had that thing forever, to be honest. But I mean, I have TikTok, Twitter,
yeah,
everything. I branded that. I registered at one time because I actually had a my own website, gamingwithmystic.com, and it actually had a whole website and stuff, but I don't have that up and running anymore. But but dude, it's been awesome, man. We will have to do these again. I think your words are awesome, and
I'll
talk to you more and more now that I kind of broke the ice with you on Facebook, that reaching out and stuff, because I've been meaning to like send a message and talk and chat and stuff, but I just now slowly seeing you being more on Facebook, so I didn't want to just barge in and hey, do what I want you to do. No, I wanted to reach out because, like, dude, I,
you know, that, and that's the idea. That's why I do what I do on Facebook. You know, I grab attention, and right now I'm trying to figure out what does that look like.
Yeah,
you know, because I have a bigger reason behind why I do what I'm doing on Facebook. Yeah. Not many people understand it.
No, and I do see the comments, and sometimes, like, I want to comment and, like, almost want to fist fight them because some of the stuff is stupid. But I just ignore it, and I watch you handle it perfectly and just be like, hey, regardless of this, not, I still love you, man, and I hope you have a awesome rest of your day. And you just kind of deflect it. I'm like, oh, okay, he's better, he's a bigger man than me, because I'd be like, yo, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm not to the, I don't think I'm to the point yet where I'm, where you just ignore all the comments, because you still want to interact and everything, but
right. Oh, well, I know
what I hear from people is eventually you just have to ignore it all and not respond.
Yeah,
but you know, it's taught me a very, very valuable lesson of, okay, how do I communicate to people in the midst of hard conversations that one another might disagree upon. You know, that's why I talk about what I talk about, because I am talking about stuff that people are going to blatantly disagree with me on.
Yeah.
You know, just mm-hmm. so we can have those conversations, more or less a conversation piece.
No, and you're absolutely correct.
Because in reality, I'm going to love, you know, I'm going to love people who are Muslims. I'm going to love people who are Hindus. I'm going to love people who are Scientologists, whatever. I'm going to love you, you know, like I'm going to treat you like I'm going to treat everybody else.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm going to love it. We'll get political. I'm going to love Democrats. I'm going to love Republicans. I'm going to love people who support Joe Biden. I'm going to love people who support Donald Trump. I'm going to love you in general. Like that does not, you know, change who you are to me.
Yeah. No, that's huge.
The only part where things change is whenever you start bashing on me as a human being without probable cause.
Yeah, they pretend to be neutral. Yo, Tyler, I know what you believe in, stuff like that, and that's so awesome. Yeah, I would never do that. But man, what I tell you is when you say this, and this, I don't think it's correct, and I think it's... Then you're like, well, wait a minute. You're flipping it from neutral to you try to push your side. So
I mean, and they could do what you're doing right now. We can get together and have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Talk about it.
Appreciate it.
Come to a middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. All right, man. Well, I'm gonna call this, and I will reach out to you again. Sometime, hang out, do whatever. Because you're still in St. Louis, right?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I go to church in St. Charles, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, right next to Lindenwood University.
Okay.
So I'm out that way often, at least 2 times a week.
Okay.
Wednesdays and Sundays.
Roger that. So when Sunday's going to be huge for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So
cool. Thank you.
Man. Well, no, thank you. Anytime, man.
All right.
And this is Tyler Monica, and this is season 2, episode 9, called The Higher Calling. Thank you guys so much, and I will talk to you later. Peace.